you ask a political discussion, they just kind of hide and they say, well, you know, I didn't really like him all that much. Well, I want you to think about what it means to actually support the president today. You would support the merger between the White House and Fox News. One of the ironies about the appointment of Tony Snow as press secretary to George W. Bush is the people who are surprised that Fox and the White House somehow are working in league together. I have to say, I think it's a plus to bring this stuff out into the open. And I do want to talk about Tony Snow and his past ties to the Washington Times newspaper, owned by, of course, the self-proclaimed Messiah, Reverend Sun Myung-moon. If someone is anti-Christian, as Reverend Sun Myung-moon has a paper, and his editorial director is Tony Snow, what does that mean for the president and all his evangelical support? Well, yeah, you know, you have to ask, as a Republican today, you must believe that the most firm issue, the strongest issue facing America, is whether or not the Star Spangled Banner should be sung in Spanish or not. That's the big focus, not really on immigration. The Republicans are split all over the map on immigration. It's very interesting. The business class wants a permanent slave caste. They want these illegal immigrants to be able to come in to work under gruesome working standards below minimum wage, because that undercuts American labor. And that hurts unions. But then they're split with the other Republicans who simply hate people who are different and don't want Spanish-speaking people and so forth to come to our borders, despite the fact that most of their ancestors also came speaking different tongues. So instead, these two factions of the Republican Party, the nativists and the big business types, unite and can both complain about the Star-Spangled Banner being spoken in Spanish. Meanwhile, of course, in Iraq, 2,500 Americans are dead, tens of thousands, probably close to 50,000 now, Iraqi civilians dead. We've got 15,000 or so Americans wounded. And now our troops, who are supposed to be creating the Iraqi military, right? I mean, that's what George Bush always says, as Iraq stands up, we will stand down. Well, now they're afraid of the troops themselves. We're going to talk about this hour. We're going to talk about what we're not doing. Why we're not doing anything in Iran. It's the whole boy who cried wolf problem. To be a Republican today means you have to believe that Iran having nuclear weapons, as the United Nations has confirmed, somehow is less of a threat than Saddam Hussein, when everyone, including the United Nations, said he didn't have nuclear weapons. I'd love some Republican to explain that to me. They can call in at 888-488-MARK. And also, to be a Republican today, I think, means to have no concern at all for the Iraqi Christians. Yes, evangelicals, wake up. Your own population, Christian Iraqis, the ancient Christians that date back long before the Muslim invasion, are being persecuted by Iraq's government. I don't hear too many complaining about that. Meanwhile, John McCain is trying to join the Christian right. Of course, he is giving speeches at Jerry Falwell's Liberty University. He's showing support for the South Dakota anti-abortion bill that would make women who are raped by their fathers have to bear the child. And now he's coming out and supporting creationism. John McCain, some of us used to respect you for your integrity and your honesty. Do you really believe this stuff? I don't think he does. And I also don't think he believes his lavish praise of President Bush. But the real scandal, and the thing that I want to spend most of the first hour talking about, is the ethics crisis. And I don't just mean Duke Cunningham, the disgraced, bribed member of Congress, who now, it seems, has been involved in prostitution. You know, Jack Abramoff, lobbyist, didn't just give votes to people that he wanted to influence legislation. No, I gave him whores, too, prostitutes. In fact, there's some rumors that our Central Intelligence Agency head, Porter Goss, was involved in some of these parties. Stay tuned as to that. But really, I think the real scandal is not what Duke Cunningham or Jack Abramoff or Bob Ney, a congressman from Ohio, very powerful congressman who is going to be indicted shortly, I suspect. It's not what they did in private, but what is being allowed in public, in open view. And the Republicans are trying to pass a bill, H.R. 4975, the Lobbyist Accountability and Transparency Act, that I laugh because it's all about no accountability and no transparency. And they're doing this out in the open because they think, maybe rightly, that those of us in the public can't understand all the arcane things going on in Congress, the complication of bills and amendments and so forth, that we can't understand what's going on, we won't realize what they're doing. That basically they're trying to pass a bill to pretend to have some sort of reform when in actuality they're doing very little. So in the next hour, I want to explore exactly what's going on with this bill, what the Democrats are proposing, what the Republicans are proposing. Because when you hear Republicans on the issue of scandal, on legalized bribery, on quid pro quo, where in essence they are giving away taxpayer dollars to people who bribe them, they're saying, everybody does it, so we don't need to fix it. There's no problem with bribery. Everybody does it. It's cool. It's the American way. It may not be the best deal, but we're going to fix it with this act that does virtually nothing. We'll talk about that. And, the Democrats do it too. But there's a big difference. The Democrats are fighting to change it. They're fighting to enforce existing rules, which are not being enforced, and to change the rules so there stops bribery in Congress. And in the most recent passage of the bill, I've got to praise the Democratic Party. Every single one of the 194 Democrats that voted on this bill voted down this horribly weak reform. Every one of the 194 thought it should be stronger. Only 12 Republicans, and we'll name them, were heroes enough to vote against this bill. Every other Republican voted for it. So next time someone tells you corruption is bipartisan, ask them, why is the Republican Congress voting down such simple Democratic amendments as to make it a crime to take or withhold official action with the intent to influence private employment decisions? You understand what that means? In other words, if you want a job as a lobbyist with Jack Abramoff, and you promise to pass legislation to help Jack Abramoff's clients so that, heck, after you're out of Congress, or if you're a chief of staff, after you stop working for your boss, you can work for him. That would be a crime. Why do the Republicans defend this? There's example after example. Like I said, we're going to spend a lot of this first hour on it, though I want to talk about all the topics of which I mentioned. It is a Sunday Weekly Review. And then coming up in the second hour, we're going to talk about gas prices. And my guest will be the communications chairman of the Libertarian Party. His name is Sam New. And he believes that the real problem with high gas prices is government taxation. Now, of course, I couldn't disagree more. I believe the problem is oil companies taking massive profits, basically reining in the supply, just as OPEC has done. Only American companies are doing it, making massive, massive profits. I support a windfall profits tax. You're going to hear that debate on the air coming up at the beginning of the next hour. I hope you'll stay tuned for that. And then tomorrow, we've got a really amazing show where my guest has the proof of what I'm arguing today, that it is, in fact, oil company collusion. His name is Tim Hamilton. He is a former petroleum industry consultant. He's the author of Why Gasoline Prices Are Headed for $3.50 at the Pump. You won't want to miss tomorrow's show. But we're going to start right at it with today's show. We're going to talk about the ethics bill and any of the other topics I talked about. You want to talk about Karl Rove, whether you think he'll be indicted, the merger of the White House and Fox News, McCain selling out, Iran, Iraq. Everything's up for grabs. It is the Sunday Weekly Review, and the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-MARK, and feel free to tune in and have your voice be heard. We'll be right back after these messages.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%.
Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico, 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says,
it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX 4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBright ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is a Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. The main discussion I want to have in the first hour is on ethics and how it is that the Republicans are using the rules and using their majority to shelve any real effort at reform. I was talking just recently with some people in Congress that give me information on this, and I'll be giving you the scoop. But before we get there, I want to talk about Tony Snow. Now, Tony Snow, of course, is on Fox News, and it's amazing to me that all pretense is falling by the wayside. I mean, how do you feel about this? The administration was caught paying reporters to pretend to be giving objective information, at the same time telling the public what the White House wants them to know. And they did it with Armstrong Williams. They did it with Maggie Gallagher. They did it with a whole series of commercials where you had reporters defend the Medicare drug bill and other presidential programs and pretend to be legitimate reporters. And we know, of course, that they even Jeff Gannon, who turns out to have been a gay prostitute, could get in and ask easy questions of the White House press corps precisely because they were easy questions. Veteran reporters like Helen Thomas of UPI, Reuters, a woman who's been around since the Eisenhower administration, she's not been allowed to ask tough questions because, well, they're tough questions. So this is an administration that has always tried to manipulate the press. In fact, some would argue that they really haven't done it as well as, say, the Soviet Union. I mean, back when the Soviet Union existed, they had newspapers like TASS and Pravda that were the government organs. But the difference as, a former a Russian-American who used to live in the Soviet Union has told me, was that Russians knew that everything in TASS and Pravda was false. But he's amazed that there are some Americans who believe that what they see on Fox News is actually news. And, of course, it is the White House propaganda channel. Well, now it seems that all pretense, all separation has fallen by the wayside with the hiring of Tony Snow as the replacement for Scott McClellan. Now, you might remember Scott McClellan was a replacement for Ari Fleischer. And it's sort of fun to watch the press secretaries. I personally just came from seeing the movie Thank You for Smoking. I hope if you haven't seen that, you'll check out that movie, because I think it shows really what a lobbyist thinks of and what people like Ari Fleischer, Scott McClellan, Tony Snow think of, how they justify in their own mind telling all the lies to the American public. They see it as a game. They see it as they're good at it, and they see it as a way to pay the mortgage. But they should know better than to start believing it. And again, I've argued in the past that the real danger is when a liar starts to believe his own lies. And part of the problem came with Scott McClellan. Scott McClellan got in a lot of trouble because he asked Karl Rove whether he had any involvement in the outing of CIA agent Valerie Plame, a treasonous act, according to the president's father, George Bush, according to me too. I mean, you out a CIA agent, you risk innumerable lives, you ruin all the secret intelligence we've gotten. So he asked Karl Rove, and Karl Rove lied to Scott McClellan's face and said, no, I had no involvement whatsoever. This is one of the main reasons why Karl Rove has been called for the fifth time to a grand jury. But Scott McClellan then came before the American public and the White House press corps and repeated that lie as if it were true. Scott McClellan said he talked personally to Karl Rove, and Karl Rove told him he had no involvement. Ooh, what a bad mistake. Scott McClellan, you know Karl Rove is a liar. It's really stupid to repeat those lies. What you should have said was in, you know, classic press speak gobbledygook, this is an ongoing investigation. I have talked with Karl Rove. He has reassured me. But don't say the clear lie of he told me he had no involvement. Oops, you lied to the press. Now, I do not believe, and if you disagree with me, you can call in 888-488-MARK. I do not believe that Scott McClellan knew he was lying. I think he actually did report, speak to Karl Rove, and Karl Rove actually did tell him he had no involvement. He reported that to the press. But what's interesting is that he reported this to the press 2 years ago. Karl Rove didn't correct him. The vice president didn't correct him. Scooter Libby didn't correct him. The president certainly didn't correct him. All of them allowed that lie to just be there. And so now they're blaming Scott McClellan. The irony is, Scott McClellan is the only honest guy in that whole sequence, right? Karl Rove lies to McClellan. McClellan tells the truth about Rove's lies to the press. Nobody corrects it. And now McClellan is thrown out the window. Scott McClellan, you should know better. You know this White House is lying to you. You got to learn to obfuscate a bit more. So they've gone to the experts. They've gone to Fox News. They've gone to Tony Snow, an expert in obfuscation. And it's interesting for Fox News and its Orwellian phrase, fair and balanced, that actually, you know, they're quite proud of the fact that their propaganda artist has been hired by the White House. I mean, you know, we've always known that Roger Ailes, the person who controls Fox News, has been a huge supporter of the Republican Party for a long time and has developed Fox News to be an organ of, a propaganda organ of the U.S. government. So it's really no surprise that they merge. But the thing that nobody ever talks about with Tony Snow is what he did before working for Fox News, and that is that he was the editorial page writer for the Washington Times. And occasionally that's mentioned, but there's no discussion of what the Washington Times is. It is Reverend Sun Myung-moon's newspaper. And when we come back, I want to remind you, those of you who may not remember from prior shows, who Reverend Sun Myung-moon is, how anti-Christian he is, and why is it that evangelical fundamentalist Christians, not to mention, of course, left-wing Christians and all kinds, aren't condemning Tony Snow for working for one of the most anti-Christian leaders worldwide. We're going to talk about that and also get to your calls, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-M-A-R-K. That's 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm just a cowboy who's got achy knees, and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions, and they made me foggy. And that that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Yeehaw!
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex Celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big, evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
I mean,
I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's a Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Before the break, I was talking about Tony Snow and his allegiance, shall we say, to a very strange character. And I'm always amazed by how little attention it gets in the Washington press, in the national press, about who is the Washington Times and who runs it. As we mentioned, Tony Snow was the editorial writer for the Washington Times. So he wasn't an ordinary reporter. He was the editorial writer. Remember what that is. That's, you know, when you look at the masthead of a newspaper, when you know, you open it up on the inside of the editorial page, there's someone, usually they're not even mentioned by name, the editors, right, of a newspaper. They are the mouthpiece of the newspaper. For the Wall Street Journal, they have there. It's very conservative. New York Times, different, Washington Post. The editorial writer is the organ of the newspaper. They are the mouth. They are the ones who are saying, I'm not reporting objectively. I am telling you what this newspaper thinks. And the owner of the Washington Times is none other than Reverend Sun Myung Moon. And that's the part that never gets discussed. Washington Times, of course, constantly loses money. Virtually no one in Washington reads this rag. Mostly it loses millions of dollars a year. But Reverend Sun Myung Moon keeps it up because he wants his views spread. And what are Moon's views? Well, there's really strange stuff. There's the mass weddings, which he has. He has declared himself the Messiah. And the couples that marry are supposed to have their first marital relations underneath his picture and to save certain fluids. I'll quit there before I get kicked off air. But he's a pretty gross guy. And one of the grossest things he's done, I mean, he's declared himself the Messiah, and I suppose he has a right to think that, and his supporters have a right to believe that. It's their religion. But one of the things that he's doing that I find particularly offensive is he's trying to tear down churches. He is literally going from church to church, and he tends to find the poorest churches in the nation, and asking them to take their cross off the church and replace it with a crown, a sign of his royalty, that he is the Messiah. And surprisingly, two churches have actually done this. They've actually taken down their cross for an undisclosed but presumably very large fee and replaced it with a crown. So this is a guy actively dismantling churches. And what I don't understand is why evangelicals don't rise up. It seems to me, and I don't want to just talk about evangelicals. I mean, The Christian left is very strong in this country. I've been very impressed by the work of Jim Wallis and others who worked to help poverty and stop the war in Iraq. But see, they're not afraid of condemning Reverend Sun Myung-moon. But the weird thing to me is the right-wing Christians, the ones who should know better than to support people like Tony Snow, who supported Reverend Sun Myung-moon, and yet there's just no talk about it. Here is one of the most anti-Christian people of our time, and his mouthpiece is Tony Snow, and now Tony Snow is George Bush's mouthpiece. Can you imagine if Bill Clinton had hired a person who worked for an organization that was dismantling churches? Would we hear the end of it? And yet it's hardly mentioned. So I just want you to remember every time you see Tony Snow that his former boss, Reverend Sun Myung-moon, claims to talk to both Jesus and Hitler, claims he is the Messiah, and believes in dismantling churches. And ask yourself, is this really who George Bush wants? Is he really willing to stoop so low as to go to a Moon employee just so that, he can get his mouthpiece at Fox News? I think the answer is clearly yes, and that's why George Bush's father, President George H.W. Bush, has also taken substantial funds from Reverend Sun Myung-moon. We have to take another break. When we come back, I want to give the details of the ethics bill, or more precisely, the non-ethics bill, and how it is that the Republicans use the system to weaken the bill and to prevent any real reform. And then coming up in the next hour, gasoline prices. A debate between myself and the communications chairman of the Libertarian Party, Sam New, over what to do about skyrocketing gas prices. You won't want to miss it. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
Studied 4 years of math, including trigonometry, and now sits in a huge office and drives a finely tuned luxury car?
Yes, Mr. Only learned basic math in school, so still have a low-paying job and have to live with your mother.
Sorry to bother you, but the vice president who took AP calculus and gets paid more than the rest of us combined wants to know if you'll be leaving early like you usually do to play golf.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll let him know. If you need me this weekend, I'll be working late filling out your expense reports and timesheets because it's the only kind of math I can handle.
Great. Simple addition and subtraction sound right up your alley.
Thanks. Have a good weekend in the country, ma'am.
I always do.
Want to get ahead in life? Learn math. Algebra, trigonometry, calculus. Because math is power. To learn more, log on to mathispower.org. A public service message brought to you by the National Action Council for Minorities in Engineering and the Ad Council.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. You may have read about a lobbying bill that is going through Congress. There was just a vote, in fact, on a procedural rule regarding the bill last Thursday. And you may have read some of the many editorials across the nation that say that the Lobbying Accountability and Transparency Act of 2006 H.R. 4975, is a sham. It's a ruse. But you may not know the details, because, you know, details like this, how to prevent bribery in Congress, when you start to give the details, oh, I don't know, people's eyes glaze over. Certainly reporters' eyes glaze over. But the details matter, because the bill does very little. What does it do? Well, it requires more frequent lobbyist reports every quarter instead of every year. It says that members of Congress who take bribes lose their pensions. Okay. And it bans certain corporate jet use until after the next election. That's it. That's all it does. This is the massive reform. In fact, there was an argument over one part of the bill. It's not clear whether it'll be in or out. That has to do with earmarking. You know what that is? Earmarking is when each member of Congress sticks in little parts of the bill that help their district that they don't want people to know about. So they're usually done in the dead of night and before anyone can actually know what they're voting on. Well, one of the most famous earmarking provisions, of course, is the Alaskan Bridge to Nowhere that we've talked about on this broadcast before. Well, the earmarking provision actually wouldn't have prevented that Bridge to Nowhere because they just want to make appropriators disclose this earmarking. If this is unclear, again, you're always welcome to give me a call, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. But I will try to explain it because it's all, I understand, inside the Beltway stuff, and having lived inside the Beltway and worked in Congress for a long time, I can explain it to you. You see, when you pass a bill in Congress, generally it's not funded. They just say that so much of the money will be around, allocated, if you will, is the official term, and then it has to be appropriated as well. That's one of the reasons, in fact, why Senator Ted Kennedy got, mistreated, let's say, by George Bush in the No Child Left Behind Act, because the funds were allocated but not appropriated. Ted Kennedy thought that he would get all this extra money for education, and George Bush double-crossed him. So when the appropriators pass a bill, they like to stick in lots of pet projects for their own district. Now, both Republicans and Democrats are guilty of this. One of the most famous Democrats who gets a lot of appropriations is Robert Byrd of West Virginia. Seems like every public park or statue or library in West Virginia is named for Robert Byrd. But the Republicans have really made this into a new art form. And one of the reasons why we have the biggest spending ever in American history by this Congress has to do with this earmarking. And very few Republicans, John McCain is an exception, but very few Republicans have stood up against this. The irony, of course, is that the Republicans claim to be against big government spending, but 90-plus percent of them support this massive government spending. True, not spending on health care, not spending on, you know, workers' rights, not spending on minimum wage or education, no, but spending on oil breaks, tax breaks for oil companies, on basically gifts to the people who lobby them. Well, one of the things that Democrats want to do is they wanted to restrict a lot of these things. And so there are a number of amendments the Democrats have that the Republicans refuse to even allow a vote on. And I want you to think about how this works, because this is indeed part of the problem. If you take a Democratic amendment, let's take an easy one, one that would make it a crime to take official action or threaten to do so in order to get private employment. Now, you would think that's obvious, right? If a member of Congress votes to give $100 million to a certain company because they know that that company will hire them or their staffer if they do that, in other words, like Tom DeLay's K Street project. You know what K Street is, of course. That's the big lobbyist street where Tom DeLay had a nice factory where he would take his staff and they would give favors to business and then they would then go to work for those same businessmen. And it's really a nice quid pro quo. The businessman gets $100 million of taxpayers' money, goes to the corporation, and then the corporation hires the staffer and pays him several hundred thousand dollars. And, well, the staffer makes money and the business makes money. The only people who lose are the U.S. taxpayers. You would think making that a crime would be obvious. And the Republicans know that they don't want to have a vote on the record where it says, Congressman Tom Davis of Virginia voted against making it a crime to basically have bribery, to basically do something for a corporation so he can get a job later. He voted against making that a crime. He doesn't want that vote to even come to the floor, because every member of Congress knows if that vote came to the floor, it would be unanimous. That Democratic amendment would pass virtually unanimously. Who is going to vote against making a form of bribery a crime? So what they're going to do is, instead of allowing it to come to the floor, they will vote to allow that amendment never to be heard. They will vote to take away the Democratic members' right to even offer an amendment. And they do it by passing a procedural motion known as a rule. And this is the way Tom Davis or Frank Davis or your own personal Republican congressman, remember, every Republican congressman voted for it, save 12, whose names I'll read in just a minute. Your own Republican congressman or woman can then say, I didn't vote to protect bribery. I just voted to make it out of order to have an amendment to stop bribery. And by that time, well, you know, everything's lost in the translation, and they look like good guys. I'm very proud of the Democrats. Every single one of the Democrats voted against restricting amendments to this lobbying bill. And 12 Republicans, who are my heroes as well, I'll read them quickly: Bass, Bradley, Shabbat, Green of Wisconsin, Heffley, Hulshoff, Jones of North Carolina, Colby, Platt, Ramstead, Sensenbrenner, and one of my favorite Republicans, Chris Shays of Connecticut. They are the only ones to vote against restricting amendments to make this lobbying bill more strong. But there are other things in the lobbying bill. One of the things that the Democrats tried to do was to ban corporate jet travel as a free gift from the lobbyists. You know, if Republicans want to go somewhere and they're doing it as a junket, if they're going to St. Andrews to play golf for, you know, a week, and along with 30 minutes of an educational session, they should have to pay for that, like the rest of us. Well, the Republicans have a compromise. They've said, we will ban corporate jet travel until after the next election. I'm not joking, folks. Until December of this year. That's a great fix. Ban this corporate jet travel into December of this year. Democrats wanted to make it stronger. Every Republican, save those 12, voted against it. Another thing Democrats wanted were to ban gifts or meals from the lobbyists. You know, it seems to me that a lobbyist has a right to go to a member of Congress and try to persuade them, using logic, that they should vote for a certain bill. I have no problem with that. If a lobbyist wants to go and say, you know what, this bill's good for your district, good for America, good for the tobacco industry, whatever it is, they should be able to make their own arguments. But they shouldn't be able to give gifts. They shouldn't be able to give meals. They shouldn't be able to give, you know, a yacht called the Dukester to Duke Cunningham and an endless supply of prostitutes. The Democrats wanted to ban the gifts. The Republicans said no. The Republicans, all except these 12, said, no, we want these gifts. We need these gifts. We spend all day long passing legislation to help companies just so we can get these gifts. You're not going to take away our gifts from us. If you did that, you would end bribery in Congress. We can't allow that. So they voted against this bill. There are other things, of course. The Republicans want to have quarterly disclosure of lobbyists. Fine, I guess that's better than annual. But the Democrats want disclosure of the fundraisers. You know, those events that honor a member of Congress and give them lots of money for their campaign. Well, the Democrats want to have those also listed and listed on the internet. Republicans were against that. The Democrats wanted to close the revolving door. You know about that? That's the thing that allows a member of Congress to give $1 billion of your money to X corporation and then go work for X corporation. The Democrats would increase the restriction to just 2 years. You got to sit out of Congress for 2 years before you go work for the same company that you just doled out billions of dollars to. Republicans were against that. The list goes on and on and on. And disclosing paid grassroots lobbying activities, requiring credentials of public safety officers. That'd be good after Mike Brown. There would be accountability and openness in federal contracting. No more no-bid contracts for Halliburton. Stiff criminal and civil penalties on those contractors who cheat taxpayers or engage in wartime profiteering. I mean, this is good stuff, folks. Prohibiting contractor conflict of interest, closing the revolving door between the government and the contractors. Why are Republicans against these reforms? The interesting thing is, I think if you talk to your average American Republican, they aren't against these reforms. I mean, there are Republicans, I know them, who believe in fiscal conservatism. Most of them now are independents or Democrats. The Republicans support the Republican Party because they believe the United States should be pushing religion more on its citizens. But even they, I don't think, support this organized bribery. So who supports organized bribery? Who supports this corruption? Well, every Republican in the House of Representatives save the 12 that I mentioned. And that's why I think in November we're going to have to throw these bums out. When I come back, I want to talk about how it is that they violate the rules, the own house rules, the internal rules, the rules that nobody talks about, in order to get their way, in order to prevent these amendments from even seeing the light of day. Not just voting down these very good amendments, but not even allowing them to be voted on. And there's actually amendments to try to help require the Republicans to follow the rules. And those also won't be voted on. I'll give you the details right after the break. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
About Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting, energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. You know, I hear all the time from my friends who are Democrats, people who support the Democratic Party, people who really dislike George Bush, that they're disappointed in the Democratic Party. The Democrats are doing nothing, they say. They don't stand for anything. Well, my friends, you don't know what the Democrats stand for because you don't have a press that's reporting it. I am giving you details. All of this is public knowledge. All you have to do is look up H.R. 4975 on the internet. It takes a lot of work, folks. because it's not reported these details in the New York Times and the Washington Post, and certainly not reported on the White House / Fox News propaganda channel. And I understand that. But the reason I'm on the air is because I used to work in Congress, I knew this kind of stuff went on, and I knew it wasn't being reported. So let's look at what your Democratic representatives are doing, and let's look at the fact that all the Republicans, every one of them in the House, save the 12 heroes I mentioned, have voted not to allow these amendments to even be heard. One of the amendments would prohibit securities trading by members of Congress based on non-public information relating to prospective or pending legislative action. Now, that one should be easy. Should you be able to use inside information on a bill that you're working on to make a massive profit in the securities industry? Should a member of Congress be allowed to do what Martha Stewart has done or was accused of doing? Actually, do it in spades. I mean, she made very little money off the thing. Should you be able to buy up Exxon stock and then pass secret legislation to give Exxon tens of billions of dollars in taxpayer money and then watch your stock go up and sell it? Obviously, the answer should be no. But you know what, folks? This is legal. And not only is it legal, but the Republicans support it. The Republican House Rules Committee refused to even allow this amendment to be voted on. Amendment by Congressman Baird, Congresswoman Louise Slaughter. Now think about this. To be a Republican today, or to be a Republican member of Congress today, you support insider trading by members of Congress. Amazing. I don't know any Republican anywhere. I don't know anyone. Maybe if you know someone who supports this, give me a call. I don't know of a single individual in the nation who will openly admit that they support members of Congress trading securities based on their legislation. But they refused this Democratic amendment to prohibit this and to require additional reporting by members and employees of Congress of securities transactions. To require registration and reporting by political intelligence firms, to end adding special interest provisions in the middle of the night. You know, there are rules about the middle of the night in Congress. You're not supposed to be making bills in the middle of the night and not allowing people to read them. Now, you know, this may make sense to you and me who think of these things as just obvious, that you should be able to have time to read a bill before you vote on it. But to be a Republican today, to support, if you vote for a Republican in this November, you support the practice of people passing bills without having read the bills. Okay? And I just, a whole list here, a 91-page bill given 4 hours to read, a bill of 2,000 pages that was given, a day to read. There's a bill, 1,231 pages. In fact, the highway bill, the one with all those earmarks in it, 1,231 pages, was given 11 hours for members of Congress to read. These are generally done overnight. The list goes on and on and on. The Democrats are publicizing this, and nobody's reporting it. Nobody except me. So please don't complain the Democrats aren't doing anything. They're trying to stop this thing. Do you know how they do it? It's very interesting. There is a requirement that some bills require 3 days notice. In other words, you have to have 3 days by the time you write the bill till you vote on it. And some bills require 24 hours notice. Well, what the Republicans are doing is with the 3-day notices, they're just waiving them. They're saying, you don't need to wait 3 days. With the 24-hour notices, they're doing something even more weird. What they're doing is they're defining a day differently. You see, a day doesn't begin at midnight. Doesn't begin at 9 a.m. A day begins when Congress says it begins. Apparently, the sun doesn't rise unless Tom DeLay says it can rise. In other words, if you have a bill and you pass it on one day and it's supposed to wait 24 hours until you actually vote on the bill, you write it one day, it's supposed to wait 24 hours, all you do is you define the 24 hours differently. I think this started, by the way, because members of Congress maybe started working into the night, 11 p.m., 12, midnight, 1 a.m. They wanted to find 1 a.m. as the day before. So I guess that's fine. But now you find Congress doing stuff like ending a day at 8:30 a.m. and then beginning the next day at 8:45 a.m. So literally, a day can change in 15 minutes, and that way you can avoid the one-day requirement to read a bill. Pretty scary stuff, pretty obviously sneaky stuff, all things the Democrats are trying to prohibit, and the Republicans aren't letting them, and the press isn't reporting. We'll be right back, 888-488-MARK, if you want to call in, 888-488-6275. And coming up after the hour, we're going to talk with the communications chairman of the Libertarian Party about gas prices. You won't want to miss that. We'll be right back after this.
Cowboy who's got achy knees, and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions, and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Yeehaw! Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. As I read through the proposed Democratic amendments, the ones the Republicans refused to allow a vote on, it's hard for me to imagine what possible reason, outside the fact that they love corruption, that they would vote against these amendments. I mean, look at them. There's one by Henry Waxman that would require all political appointees and senior officials and federal agencies in the White House to report the contacts they have with private parties seeking to influence official government action. Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with disclosing, hey, we met with this person who was trying to influence a bill, trying to influence government action? If there's nothing wrong with it, why not report it? Another proposed amendment would make lawyers and lobbyists and executives at high-level government positions to have a conflict of interest if they take official action on behalf of their former clients or employers within 2 years of entering government. In other words, if Dick Cheney of Halliburton enters the government for 2 years, he can't direct billions of dollars of taxpayer money to Halliburton. What's wrong with that? Another one would provide whistleblower protections for national security. We have a provision now where we have a CIA agent, Mary McCarthy, who disclosed the secret torture camps we have abroad and is being punished, fired from her job for disclosing that, those illegal camps against U.S. law and against international law, while the President of the United States has admitted he has disclosed classified information that happened to be a lie trying to influence the policy in Iraq. It would eliminate pseudo-classification and the, you know, making top secret information that's already been released to the public. And it would require the federal government to disclose its role in paying for propaganda. Is that so hard to understand? Representative Van Hollen of Maryland, who I like a lot, would require that a lobbyist disclose when he solicited a campaign contribution. What is complicated about any of this? Requiring legislation to actually wait 24 hours to be voted on, required full and open debate in conference. I mean, the list goes on and on. It would end the two-day work weeks. You know that this do-nothing Congress has worked 97 days a year less than the famous do-nothing Congress of Harry Truman that worked 108 days a year. They worked from, you know, Wednesday clear to Thursday. All of these amendments proposed by Democrats, not allowed to become onto a vote by Republicans who claim there's corruption in both parties, but which is the party trying to fix the corruption? And ask yourself this. Why hasn't the national media focused on these reforms? The best we get is some good editorials that say, well, the Democrats have real reform and the Republicans don't. But why aren't these details clear? Maybe they just think people's eyes glaze over. I put it this way. The Republicans support bribery and the Democrats are against bribery. And that's all you need to know about the recent Lobbying Accounting and Transparency Act of 2006. Coming up next after the news break, we're going to be talking with the communications chairman of the Libertarian Party, a guy by the name of San New. We're going to talk about gas prices. Whose fault is it? You won't want to miss that. If you want to call in, 888-488-6275. We're going to hold calls until after the discussion with Sam New is over, but we'll have the whole second half hour to discuss it, and we'll be right back after this.
USA Radio Network News, Cynthia King reporting. Tomorrow is being dubbed a day without immigrants, with massive rallies and an economic boycott being planned to highlight the supposed necessity of illegal immigrants to the American economy and society. Thousands of people have gathered at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. to protest atrocities in Africa and end the genocide in Darfur.
Diane Baer is one of many Jews who lost family during the Holocaust, and she says learning of the genocide in Darfur, she knew she had to do something.
I would do anything possible to prevent something like that from happening again.
Last night was the 92nd White House Correspondents' Dinner. USA's Connie Lawn has attended this dinner since 1968.
It is likely there will be an era of better feeling between the White House press corps and the president. In the wake of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the good feeling should last for a little while at least. The press corps and the public are always pleased to see officials can make fun of themselves and joke about it. The president did so brilliantly during the dinner when he employed a presidential imitator to stand next to him. The good feelings may also be enhanced when Tony Snow takes over as press secretary next week. Connie Lawn, USA Radio Network News at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in Washington.
The U.S. government has requested a federal judge dismiss a lawsuit against AT&T. The lawsuit comes from a San Francisco civil liberties group on behalf of AT&T customers who accused the company of unlawful collaboration with the NSA in its surveillance program. You're listening to USA Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Spring is in the air, and something else is too, pollen. That stuff that drives your allergies crazy. Before you run to the drugstore and start popping pills, try my high-filtration Oreck Professional Air Purifier risk-free for 90 days. It captures particles 100 times smaller than pollen. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Then if you don't breathe easier, just send it back. There's no obligation.
Time Magazine's new list of the 100 most influential people in America will soon be featured in this month's edition.
People on the list include obvious types like presidents and religious leaders, military leaders, and then less, more subtle influence providers like scientists and thinkers and business people and even people in the arts and entertainment world.
Executive editor Adi Ignatius, who says the list is a newer idea than most people think.
The origin of the Time 100 was actually at the turn of the century when we decided to do a series on the 100 most influential people of the 20th century. 3 years ago, we decided to revive it. So we brought it back, and so now this is the third straight year that it's been an annual list.
And a reminder, school systems across the nation are making it clear there will be penalties for students who skip school for May Day boycott demonstrations tomorrow. There's more news at usaradio.com. Cynthia King reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello. Relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBrite ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome back to the second hour of the Inside Scoop. You've probably noticed that gas prices have gone up, in most cases over $3 a gallon across the country, and politicians are running like scared rabbits. They're very afraid of the American people, who are not very happy about the high oil prices. But what should be done about these high gas prices? Whose fault is it? And how do we fix it? Well, Democrats are arguing we need alternative energy. We need some of the things that actually Jimmy Carter started in the 70s that were abandoned by Ronald Reagan in the 80s. But things like higher fuel standards for cars and maybe a windfall profits tax against the oil companies who are making record profits. Republicans respond, no, the best way to do it is to give $100 to every taxpayer and also to open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for drilling. And we have a third view, that by the Libertarian Party. My guest is Sam New. He's the communications director for the Libertarian Party, and he argues, in fact, that it's taxes that are the problem, government taxes. Sam New, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on the air.
You bet.
Well, now tell me this. What exactly are you saying needs to be done?
Well, Mark, I think if you look at the situation and the high gas prices and the cost of that to American consumers and the dampening effect that it has on a variety of businesses, it's easy to ascertain that this is a significant problem. And as you just mentioned, we've looked at a number of ways that we can deal with this problem. And, of course, on the Hill and in the White House and policy circles like that, there's a debate about exactly what the problem is. The Libertarian Party argues that, you know, maybe oil companies are partially to blame for the high prices. However, you've got to look at gas taxes. If politicians really want to remedy this situation instead of just blowing hot air, then they would think about repealing some of these taxes that do stifle businesses and are a burden to the end consumer.
Sam, first of all, technical issue. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes, I am.
Could you get off the speakerphone because I'm hearing a little bit of feedback? All right. Are you on a regular phone now?
Yeah, can you hear me better?
It's much better. Yeah, we were hearing an echo in the mic because we were hearing my own voice. Let me ask you this. The taxes are put there by the government, mostly, I think, not as a revenue enhancer, though I guess they definitely do that, but they're done to encourage Americans to use alternative energy. I know I was just recently in a car in Maryland that was run entirely on soybean oil. And what the guy told me who owned the car, he said Maryland has a plan. They actually subsidize because right now soybean oil, it actually now it's close to the right price. It's about $3.30 or something a gallon. They pay half of it, the state of Maryland. So it's, the guy only costs $1.65. But isn't the purpose of taxing gasoline to encourage Americans to use different resources so we don't rely on sheiks in the Middle East who are giving us all our oil?
Well, Mark, I'm going to agree and disagree with that. First of all, I think, yes, that is one purpose of a user tax, like a gas tax or what have you. But also, I do think that the government does impose these kinds of taxes as a significant revenue stream. Now then, you talk about your friend's car, and I'm certainly a fan of alternative energy. I think that's a step in the right direction, and I think that's something we've got to look at as we move into farther into this century and with, as you say, the sheiks in the Middle East and OPEC controls and things like that. However, that type of technology, I would argue, is not really available to the American masses yet. And so in the very short term, and as far as the high gas prices now and the burden that that's putting on American consumers, if politicians really want to think about making it easier for Americans to commute to work and transport their families and these kinds of things, then they should look at the burden that is placed on the taxpayer. Not this $100 rebate that we're hearing from the GOP now. Obviously, that's ineffective.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, if you're going to give $100 to every American, why not print money and give $1,000 or $10,000 to every American? That's clearly no solution. But
you're absolutely right. And depending on the type of vehicle that a consumer chooses, that may not be enough for two full tanks of gas.
Well, listen, Sam, I know you know something about economics. Let me ask you this. I have my own views. Let me hear your views first. Why is it that you believe that American car manufacturers, and there are exceptions, I mean, there's the Prius, which isn't even an American car, but why is it that consumers don't have the possibility to buy in mass numbers the kind of cars that aren't gas-guzzling cars? Why do you think that is? I got my own views.
You know, Mark, I think that and that's a complicated question, and I'm no expert on the auto industry, but I would argue that it's simply a supply and demand issue. Americans, by and large, not on either coast, but in the American heartland, still like the big SUVs. They still like high-performance machines or big vehicles that have a lot more capabilities. Those people are, I think, generally not really... And I want to phrase this carefully, are not prepared to shift to the hybrid, to the Civic Hybrid or the Prius or
I think they
like
are.
That.
I think they are. Let me give you how I see history, and I want to know if you disagree. Here's how I see it happening. Back in the 1970s, we had our first two oil shocks. Jimmy Carter started to require CAFE standards, fuel standards for cars, to go up. They went up, and then you see in the 80s, Americans actually did buy smaller cars. There are much bigger cars in the 70s than in the 80s. Then Ronald Reagan came, and he got rid of all these CAFE standards, all these requirements, all these impetus for oil companies and for motor vehicle companies to make these alternative vehicles. And gas prices went down, and suddenly Americans bought the gas-guzzling SUVs. It seems to me it is supply and demand, and if you raise the price of oil high enough and you lower the price of these alternative energies low enough, Americans will make the switch. And the problem, it seems to me, is that the price of oil doesn't include the cost of the war in Iraq, the cost of our foreign policy, billions of dollars. It seems to me that all you're doing is, as an economist, you're sort of internalizing these externalities. You're saying oil is very, very expensive in terms of national security. We're going to tax it because of the real cost, and make these alternative energies, things like soybean and corn and wind and solar and all that kind of stuff, cheaper. Don't you think American people will respond?
Well, Mark, and again, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you entirely. I think you're right, and I think there's something you're overlooking. Yes, I think maybe in the long run, the plan that you describe is something that's beneficial, but I worry about the consumers now who really maybe don't have the money to purchase a new car or aren't ready to make their next purchase or, you know, I'm not sure, but do in fact have, you know, cars that run on regular gasoline, unleaded, and what have you, and for the time being need this vehicle to get to work and have to purchase fuel at these absurd prices. I'm talking about the immediate implications that this is going to have on small businesses, the end consumer, et cetera.
But how does it affect our addiction to oil in the long run if all we're doing is subsidizing consumers and at the same time not hitting oil companies who are making these tremendous profits?
Well, and I think that's an entirely different issue, and that's something that should be addressed in a separate conversation. You know, the Libertarian Party is, of course, opposed to raising taxes in just about all circumstances. If you talk about is levying a sales tax or raising taxes or whatever the answer to this solution, I would probably argue no. But, you know, that's an entirely different question.
Okay, well, Sam, we're coming up on a break. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I'd like to focus on this other part of the question, namely, what do you think the solution is? I've given you my answer. It's higher fuel standards and tax subsidies for these alternative energies. What do you,
sure,
as the Libertarian Party, think is the answer? And what do you think of a windfall profits tax on oil companies? We'll get right to that right after this.
Got achy knees and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over the counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Yeehaw! Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about skyrocketing gas prices and who's at fault and what there is to do about it. We've talked about Republican and Democratic solutions, and well, now we have a third option. This is the option of the Libertarian Party. I have on the air Sam New. He is the communications chairman for the Libertarian Party. And before the break, I asked him two really tough questions, and I appreciate very much him coming on the air to answer these tough questions. The first one I asked is, what is his solution? He gave a short-term solution, cut government taxes for consumers now. But what is the Libertarian Party's long-term solution to get us out of our addiction to oil?
Mark, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead. We're ready.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned the windfall profits tax, and you talk about the rising prices of oil as an incentive for Americans to purchase more fuel-efficient vehicles or alternative energy vehicles and those kinds of things. I think you and I differ on sort of a fundamental principle of the carrot or the stick. I would argue that it's easier and it's a better option for consumers and for society and the economy at large to offer incentives for Americans to purchase and use alternative vehicles that are powered by alternative energy or that are more fuel efficient and what have you. I'm talking about purchasing incentives. I'm talking about maybe some kind of tax break in some area. I'm talking about maybe free tolls. These kinds of things, I think, are better solutions.
Well, I actually mentioned one of them, and that is my friend's soybean car. The state of Maryland basically pays half his gas bill, and so he ends up paying about $1.65 a gallon instead of $3.30 a gallon, and that is a good incentive to buy the car. But let me move on to the windfall profits tax, because Exxon declared a $35 billion profit. It's more than $8 billion for the first quarter.
Yeah.
The highest profit of any American corporation in American history. And I have to ask you, you know, standard economic model, when there's not a monopoly, and I actually think there is one here, but if there's not a monopoly, then basically that encourages Exxon to do more, to produce more, and to lower prices. We don't see them doing that. It seems to me if they're going to make these massive profits, I just assume it go to the government and reduce our debt, and then go into, you know, the CEO of Exxon, who in another article I read has made $660 million so far as CEO over his term there. And, you know, I understand $360 million, $460, but when you get to $660, somehow I think, you know, he really can't use all that money. What's wrong with the windfall profits tax?
Well, Mark, I think you actually make a good point on that. It's not that it's a horrible idea. Certainly I would argue that oil companies are somewhat to blame for the high prices. Yeah, price levels could be lower. What you and I discussed previously was simply that the government is or plays also a role in the high prices of oils. So in contribution to the high price level that we see now at the pump.
Well, sure they do, but there's a big difference, right? I mean, when you pay taxes to the government, it goes to all of us. You can disagree about government spending,
right.
but it, at the very least, it cuts down on the huge debt that we is, you know, higher now than any point in American history that we all have to pay back with future taxes. So, you know, if I'm going to spend 25 cents extra on gasoline, I'd much rather it go to my country than go to the CEO of Exxon.
Well, and again, that's a really good point. I can't think of a time in the past when a windfall profits tax was extremely effective. Do you have an example?
Well, yeah, Jimmy Carter had a windfall profits tax. You know, Carter doesn't get a lot of credit for his presidency, and clearly there were a lot of failures in it. But one of the things I think he did in the late 70s, in the second oil shock, was he did a windfall profits tax. And we know, and I can't say that the tax caused this, because I can't prove that, but we know that in the subsequent decade, in the 80s, gas prices fell through the floor. My point is not that the windfall profits tax caused gas prices to go down. I'm not arguing that, but it didn't hurt it. What I'm saying, it didn't hurt the economy. It didn't hurt oil companies. All it did, it seems to me, was take this small group of five or six oil companies that I think band together and collude to cut supply, much like OPEC does, and it took their monopoly profits and turned them over to the government. What's so wrong with that?
Well, and that's an interesting point. Again, the Libertarian Party, in most cases, once again, is opposed to government regulation of business and economic matters like this. However, I think if given the choice, should the prices be shouldered by the consumer or by Exxon in the case that you're making, I think I'd probably agree with you on that.
I mean, for one thing, they could take the windfall profits tax and give that as a rebate to consumers. So I wouldn't have a problem with that. Let me ask you this, though. I guess as a libertarian principle, when I studied economics in school, we talked about sort of free market situations and monopoly situations.
Uh-huh.
And in a free market situation, you've got lots of producers, and they all compete with each other to get the best price, and it's generally set where, you know, supply meets demand, sort of basic economic theory. But we also learned in economics that when you have a monopoly, when you have, for example, OPEC, the organization, petroleum exporting countries, the countries of Saudi Arabia and Venezuela
yeah,
that
right.
control oil, when they cut supply, then there's no new suppliers that can come in, and so prices are artificially high. And I'd like to suggest, and actually I have my guest tomorrow has a whole book on this, and so this is sort of a plug for tomorrow's show, but I'd like to suggest that the oil companies are doing a little bit of what OPEC has done, that they've cut down on refinery capacity, and in doing so are basically doing the same thing that OPEC is doing, cutting down on supply to get artificial high profits. And I guess my question for you is, as a libertarian, do you believe in government interference when it's to prevent monopolies, things like the Sherman antitrust law, or is even that off the radar screen for you?
Well, I think you need some kind of antitrust laws, at least in some form. You're absolutely right. To foster competition and free market development, you do need a number of firms, a number of suppliers, as you will, that can compete with each other, or else it's not really a free market. And I think most libertarians are very free market oriented and do, rationally believe in competition and the value of that and the choices that gives consumers. So I think you're absolutely right, Mark, and I agree with you.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that, and I think we can end on another point of agreement, and that is that subsidies to oil companies, such as the recent energy bill, are a really bad idea. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon stayed through the night in a one-man filibuster, I give him credit, to try to take out of the energy bill some of these massive subsidies we're giving to these corporations that are making massive profits. One thing I think libertarians and Democrats can agree on is that corporations, particularly oil companies, don't need American taxpayer subsidies. You agree with me on that?
I agree with you 100%. The Libertarian Party is opposed to any form, well, substantially all forms of corporate welfare. And I think you're absolutely right. They just don't need the subsidies, and that money could be better spent.
Well, that's good. See, we agree on a lot of things. coming up in the next half hour, Sam New is going to go. But if you want to comment on this, it's easy to do. Just pick up the phone and dial 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Got a couple minutes left. Let me just ask you, Sam, I don't know if you're aware, and I'm sort of changing the topic on you, so I apologize, but
no, go ahead.
Of the recent so-called ethics bill that's going through the House to stop a lot of the lobbyist disclosure, bribery that we've seen on the House floor and things like that. I would think that's something else that the libertarians could join with reformers in saying that this kind of cash for legislative favors definitely needs to go.
Oh, well, certainly, Mark. And I think if you look at, recent corruption in the GOP, the things that we've seen with the Abramoff scandal,
right,
and Tom DeLay and Duke Cunningham and things like that, Washington, in terms of ethics, Capitol Hill is out of control. And I just think that Americans demand a better choice and want a better choice. And I think you're absolutely right.
Now, how is it as a third party? One of my problems with third parties, and it's not a problem with the libertarians or Ralph Nader or any of them per se, but we have a system of government that's systemically under the Constitution, for better or for worse, and I'm sure you'd argue for worse, maybe I would too, penalizes third parties. If you want to throw the bums out of Congress, you know, if you want to vote out Bob Ney of Ohio, who's likely to be indicted, you know, you can. If you support the libertarian, you might split the vote and he might get back in again. How do you deal with that question?
Well, Mark, I think what you're describing is a sort of, and you sound like an economics guy, it's essentially a collective action problem. We found that very, very many Americans are ready for a third-party change, but sort of believe that they would be throwing their vote away. And the challenge to the Libertarian Party in this case is, of course, convincing them that, no, you're not wasting your vote, and if we can get everyone to think along the same lines, then we have a better chance. And we can actually make a difference in Washington and end some of this corruption.
Sam, I want to thank you very much for taking your time to come here on the Inside Scoop.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
If you want to call in the next half hour, it's easy to do. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
About Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part.
so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting, energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is a Sunday Weekly Review. We're talking about skyrocketing gas prices, whose fault it is, and what we can do about it. If you heard the first half hour of this hour, you've heard Sam New of the Libertarian Party. And it was very interesting. We agreed on a lot of things. We agreed on the need for alternative energy. We agreed that corporate subsidies to the energy companies really don't work. But where we disagreed is on the taxes. And, you know, I don't like paying over $3 a gallon, but I'd much rather that money go to the government than to Exxon. And it seems to me that what those taxes do, it's part stick and also part carrot. It encourages Americans to use alternative energy. I want to hear what you think. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Marcus. This is Gordon from Michigan.
Hello, Gordon.
Why can't the big oil companies be federalized?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, Truman, Harry Truman back in the 50s tried to do a similar thing when he seized a bunch of steel plants. He argued that we needed these steel plants for Korean War production. And actually, the Supreme Court rebuked him in a rare rebuke of the president and said basically he can't just do that. I don't know. It's a great question. If we did it, we would have to pay them. Obviously, under the Constitution, under eminent domain, you can't just seize them without paying them for it. But I suspect that at the rate the oil companies are making hand over fist, that would cost a fistload of money.
Well, if we intervened in Iran, and people are saying that if we provoke them, they would try to increase the price per barrel would go skyrocketing, and there might very well be a crisis in this country because of that, and wouldn't a crisis, and we are at war, so a wartime crisis would that not merit that type of action?
I'm very sympathetic to you, Gordon. I happen to think just legally the courts wouldn't allow it, because the rule is that if you take property of whether it's an American citizen, an individual, or a corporation, you've got to provide the cost of it. You've got to provide. It's the eminent domain part of the Constitution. And I think that we'd have to pay for it. But what we can do is we can tax them. There's nothing wrong or nothing unconstitutional about windfall profits tax. As I pointed out, that's what Jimmy Carter did. And I think that the tax would, you know, be a transfer of wealth from the oil companies who don't need the money to the American people, to the American consumer. And that's something that it's very interesting how the Republicans are defending these massive profits by the oil companies. And tomorrow, my guest, he's really very interesting guy, And he's going to come on air and talk about how they have purposely, a number of oil companies have purposely kept refinery capacity down. And in doing so, are doing really the same thing OPEC is doing and making monopoly profits from it. His name's Tim Hamilton. And really, he's taught me a lot off the air. And even more, he'll be on the air about how this thing works. So I'm sympathetic to your solution, Gordon, but I don't think we can do it that way.
What about gas rationing?
Well, the problem, there's where my free marketing stuff comes in. I mean, nobody liked the gas lines of 1973 and 1978. And what I want to do is encourage Americans with carrot and stick to get out and buy a Prius. You know, it's interesting. Brazil, a lot of people don't realize this. In 2 years, maybe three, it started in 2003, Brazil has taken 40% of their cars and they run them on sugarcane. Were you aware of that, Gordon? They actually, 40% of their fleet, which is amazing because, you know, Brazil's a huge country. It's got hundreds of millions of people. I think it's the fifth largest country in population on Earth, or maybe the sixth. And already 40% of their cars rely on sugarcane. Now, we don't have sugarcane, but we have corn, we have soybeans. It can be done. It's just a question of having the political will to do it. And so I actually think high gas prices to the consumer aren't such a bad thing. Maybe I'm really talking against it's a good thing I'm not running for office. Not such a bad thing because they encourage consumers to switch, and they encourage our car companies, like over there in Michigan, to make cars like the Prius. And it seems to me that you can do carrot and stick at the same time as you have these high oil prices, with hopefully the money going to the government rather than the gas companies, that at the same time you have discounts on these clean cars, which is where we need to go for in the future anyway.
So you're saying we should invest in Domino's sugar rather than Exxon?
Well, or corn, or farmers. The nice thing about farmers is they can't fix prices. You know, the government can fix prices for them, but instead of five oil companies that can collude and withdraw oil, it's very hard for thousands of American farmers to get together and form an OPEC. So the price of corn or the price of soybeans, you know, we got a lot of empty land in this country. People are amazed by, you know, the vast land of Montana or Kansas. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of corn to eat. And this renewable resource. And the amazing thing is we haven't done it in the past. And I think Jimmy Carter was wise beyond his years. He was really forethinking, and he started us on the process. And we did go to lower cars. We went to smaller cars in the 1980s. And then, you know, the prices dropped through the floor, and everyone went back to the SUVs.
So, well, another thing is home heating oil. Especially, you know, in the Northeast and in the cold regions in the winter. I mean, we took it very hard this winter. I think we were up at double or triple what was last year.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, you know, I'm thinking, well, right now I'd like to convert to solar heating, but
exactly.
I don't think there is really an economical, convenient way to be able to convert from conventional fuel oil heating to solar heating.
One of the things that the government can help do. Now, I mean, I'd be the first to admit that solar heating makes a lot more sense in Nevada than in Michigan, where there's just a lot more sunshine. But you have certainly rivers and things like that. The thing is that we need a government, I think, that is thinking ahead. And there are no easy short-term solutions, as the guy from the Libertarian Party mentioned. But the worst short-term solution, I think, is to bury our head in the sand, you know, get rid of the limited government taxation. It's, you know, between 25, 30 cents a gallon, lowering prices again so that people just fuel up their SUVs. I mean, to me, that's a short-term solution with really bad long-term implications. I'd much rather take the money, do a windfall profits tax, and use that money to persuade companies and persuade consumers that we need to get off our addiction. You know, it's interesting. Fuel standards, the amount of miles per gallon that a car gets, have went up and up and up throughout the 70s into the beginning of the 80s, and then Reagan became president. And in 20 years, they have not increased. In 20 years. And that just shows you what a government can do or not do. And the idea that this oil company president with his oil company, you know, vice president and national security advisor, remember, Condoleezza Rice has a ship in her name, a Chevron ship, the Rice. I mean, it's amazing, all these oil company people. The idea that they are going to do anything to harm oil companies is ludicrous. I mean, they are still giving subsidies to oil companies who are making these record profits.
Well, you know, you have to think that the technology is there for a 40 mile per gallon SUV.
Yeah,
I mean,
it absolutely is there. I don't know about an SUV, but I've been in a Prius recently, and it got between 50 and 60 miles a gallon. In fact, in some cases up above 60. It was a quiet, well-running car. I mean, the technology is there. Brazil is not known to be one of the most technologically advanced countries on earth, and they transferred 40% of their fleet. I heard Jim Woolsey, in fact, when I was at the Conference on World Affairs in Boulder, Colorado. He made a very persuasive argument that the way to do this is to have cars. The next thing that Detroit can do is you can make cars that, instead of being entirely gasoline or entirely hybrid, that can take some mixture. He said that the technology is there to have an engine that can run 100% on gasoline, 100% on ethanol, 100% on hybrid or pure corn stock. And what you do is, if the car can run on all these things, then you can drive wherever you want in the country. If you have to use gasoline, use it. But then if you can get this cheaper fuel, and, you know, I do think government should subsidize these cheaper fuels, then eventually all these gas stations, this is exactly what happened in Brazil, all these gas stations come around to having both options. I remember when we went to unleaded and leaded. I was just a kid, but I remember for a while gas stations had both, and then eventually now today they're all unleaded. There are ways to do this if we had a government involved in it, but you know, even the Libertarian Party is saying just cut the taxes, and to me that's not enough.
Well, necessity is the mama son of invention.
It certainly is. And given the tremendous amount of blood and pain and hundreds of billions of dollars and deaths that we face in Iraq, you got to remember what this is doing is the idea is to give this sweet, special Iraqi oil to the oil companies. They're making huge profits largely on the backs of our soldiers and airmen and Marines. And it seems to me it's about time they start paying back for some of these profits.
Well, the heritage of our country goes back to the shores of Tripoli, and that was about not 1 cent for tribute. And when it gets to the point where oil becomes paying for oil becomes tribute to these sheiks in the Middle East, I think that's where we have to put our minds to work and become Americans and learn how to invent our way out of this addiction.
One more thing, a point on this that I wanted to mention is that it's not just oil companies that are getting all these record profits. Libya, that wonderful country, Muammar Gaddafi, remember him, the one that has his own little terrorist faction, he taxes oil profits up to 90%. So another benefit of a windfall profits tax actually is not just to take money from the oil companies, but to take money from some Arab leaders that I'm not a big fan of. Gordon, thank you very much for your call. I always appreciate when you do call.
Mm-hmm.
The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, and we'll be right back after this.
Executive who studied 4 years of math, including trigonometry, and now sits in a huge office and drives a finely tuned luxury car?
Yes, Mr. Only learned basic math in school, so still have a low-paying job and have to live with your mother.
Sorry to bother you, but the vice president who took AP calculus and gets paid more than the rest of us combined wants to know if you'll be leaving early like you usually do to play golf.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll let him know. If you need me this weekend, I'll be working late filling out your expense reports and timesheets because it's the only kind of math I can handle.
Great. Simple addition and subtraction sound right up your alley.
Thanks. Have a good weekend in the country, ma'am.
I always do.
Want to get ahead in life? Learn math. Algebra, trigonometry, calculus. Because math is power. To learn more, log on to mathispower.org. A public service message brought to you by the National Action Council for Minorities in Engineering and the Ad Council.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to four real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
I'm just a cowboy who's got achy knees, and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions, and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We are talking about the gas crisis, and it seems to me, of course, appropriate to talk about the war in Iraq. The war in Iraq was largely done for oil fields. It's very hard to deny that today. In fact, we now, of course, the British report that George Bush intended to go to war no matter what. He actually set the war date as March 10th, months in advance, and was determined to go there. Whether or not the United Nations inspectors found anything, that when he told America that war was a last resort, of course he was lying. The interesting thing is not that the report came out, but that it was treated as not important. I mean, it came out with all the FUD, I guess, of non-news. Maybe it's because after the Downing Street memo, after The Price of Loyalty with Ron Susskind, the book that put out based on former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill showing George Bush divide up the oil fields of Iraq. Maybe it's that we liberals, we independents knew from the beginning that this whole war was based on a lie, that the war was based for oil. And the Republicans refused to even look at news to the contrary. But still, it amazed me that this report got so little attention. So it's important to talk about Iraq in the context of oil and what we are achieving there. And, of course, the State Department report on terrorism just came out. Deaths from terrorism worldwide. There were 14,602 deaths from terrorism worldwide. 8,300, more than half, substantially more than half, were done in Iraq. 8,300 in Iraq. The second largest number was in India with 1,300. Third largest, Colombia, with 800. Iraq was seven times larger than the next greatest terrorist place. So when the administration argues that we have to go to Iraq, you know, to prevent the terrorists from coming here, and I've never quite understood that argument, do you really think Osama bin Laden is like, oh, well, you know, no reason to try to kill 10 civilians in America. It's too hard. We got sitting ducks in Iraq. Let's just kill the American servicemen instead. That's Bush's argument, in effect. We are putting people in harm's way because it's easier to kill them there than it is to kill us here, and that'll encourage the terrorists to shoot the sitting ducks rather than the less sitting ducks. Even if it were true that it's easier to kill our servicemen in Iraq than it is to kill an ordinary civilian in New York, and I'm not sure that is true, that's the reason we're in a war in Iraq? Well, we know that terrorism is higher than it's ever been, and more people are dying, and our war in Iraq isn't solving matters. And, of course, one of the reasons is because the troops themselves in Iraq, the people that we're training, the Iraqification that we're trying to do, much like the Vietnamification of the 70s, the problem is we can't even trust the troops. The Iraqi troops are often terrorist suspects. They're not on our side. Many times we give guns to these people and they end up using them against our troops. You can imagine why our troops are so upset. And meanwhile, we have real threats going on in the country, real dangers in the form of Iran. Iran is a real danger, folks. Absolutely. Iran, unlike Iraq, does have nuclear weapons. Iran, unlike Iraq, does have UN inspectors, the International Atomic Energy Agency, reporting that they do have nuclear weapons. Now, I want you to think about this and think about the disconnect in Washington policy circles. We went to war with Iraq, according to the president, because of weapons of mass destruction. And as I've argued many times on this program, weapons of mass destruction, chemical and biological, mean nothing. There were chemical weapons in World War I, mustard gas. Biological weapons, anthrax. I mean, it's not fun stuff. I wouldn't want to breathe in the stuff, though. Yeah, I was actually close to it when I used to work in Capitol Hill. Somebody did try an anthrax attack on us. But anthrax has killed, what, 20 people? 30 people? Chemical weapons, I don't know if they've killed a few dozen. I doubt that much in recent times. The only real weapons of mass destruction are nuclear weapons, which are incredibly dangerous. And these are the weapons that everyone concedes Iraq never had. It started to build them in 82. Israel bombed the plant, and they haven't had them since. The country that has them is Iran. So am I advocating taking action against Iran? Well, I'll tell you this. If we had a competent president, if Bill Clinton was in office, if Hillary Clinton was in office, if we had a competent president in the White House, yeah, I would advocate taking action against Iran. If action against Iraq, because we thought that it might someday get nuclear weapons, was appropriate, then clearly action against Iran, which has nuclear weapons, is appropriate. But the problem is, this administration can't do it. As Tom Friedman argued, to give this administration the car keys to invade Iran is like giving a drunk driver the car keys to go home. It may well be a good idea to take action against Iran, but not by this administration. And frankly, we don't even have the power anymore because our troops are all over in the wrong places, fighting the wrong people for the wrong reasons. Osama bin Laden walks free. There's no action against Iran. In Darfur, genocide is occurring. People are dying. There was a march this week to do something in Sudan, and all the administration could do is platitudes. So think about the reasons the administration is going to war. Is it for weapons of mass destruction? No. Or we would have invaded Iraq. Is it because of the attack on September 11th? No. Or we would be, have more troops right now in Afghanistan and Pakistan tracking down Osama bin Laden. Is it for human rights, to prevent the most evil, awful crime that human beings can do? Is it to stop genocide? No. Or we would be in Darfur right now. The only reason we're in Iraq, the only thing that stands the evidence, is three letters. Oil. O-I-L. And what are we doing? We're providing sweet oil to oil companies who are getting it, or will get it in the future at a cheap rate, but because they are restricting supply, and we're going to talk all about this tomorrow with my guest, Tim Hamilton. We're going to have a great show tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. By restricting supply to refineries, by restricting refinery capacity, the nozzle, if you will, of the hose, the bottleneck, they are artificially raising prices, making massive profits. And it just turns out to be a massive transfer of wealth from taxpayers to these oil companies. It's kind of like what Enron did, actually, in the energy crisis in California. They're doing it right now. Does nobody see it? That's what the show is going to be devoted to tomorrow. I got one more break to do. When I come back, I want to talk about a group that I'm very concerned about that virtually no one is talking about. Iraqi Christians. Christians in Iraq are in danger, and they're being persecuted, and neither the administration nor most mainstream Christian groups are doing anything about it. I'll give you the inside scoop right after this.
Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting, energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel, or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novac.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The Iraqi Christian community is very old. Jews in Iraq go back to the Babylonian exile. Iraq is the present-day place of former Babylonia, and that's about 500 or so before the Common Era. Well, Christians go back to pretty much after the time of Jesus. They've been there a long time. The Muslim invasions, of course, were centuries later. But they're in trouble in Iraq. According to Iraqi estimates, of the 800,000 ancient Christians in Iraq, between 40 and 100,000, as many as one out of every eight, have fled since 2004. Just since the war in Iraq has begun, Iraqi's Christian community is being decimated. How so? Well, a lot of it's done through kidnapping, abductions. There's an example, a man named Fadi was reported in the Republic. His last name is being withheld to protect his family. But he was kidnapped, and they demanded $30,000. And Fadi knew that if he were not returned, he would be shot or beheaded. The problem is there's kidnappings, there's assassinations, there's church bombings. As the theocracy takes control in Iraq, as Saddam Hussein has no power anymore, the Shiites and the Sunnis are each fighting each other, and for them, the Christian minority is, they're in the way. They are neither Shiite nor Sunni. A lot of Christians are tucking their hair under the women that wear the cloth that women wear. A lot of Christians are hiding their own hair, the women, even though that's not a Christian tradition, to protect themselves from the Muslims. And why is it happening now? Well, one is, of course, Saddam Hussein is no longer in power, but partly it's because of our invasion. You see, the Christians in Iraq, despite the fact that they're from an ancient community, are tied to the American troops. George Bush called the war in Iraq a crusade, a horrible, horrible name for it, because for the Muslims, a crusade is all about Christians killing Muslims. And so they're tying them to the occupation, and as American occupation gets more and more unpopular, they're taking it out on the Iraqi Christians. And the interesting thing is that the United States is doing nothing about it. There's an Iraqi-American mentioned in the story whose Christian sister in Iraq saw her husband gunned down in the street, and then two more of her family members were assassinated. So she lost three family members to assassination, and so she cried to her American relatives, "Get me out of Iraq, get me in the United States." But the United States refuses to take these Iraqi Christians as refugees. Now, we have statutes, we have laws that protect people against religious persecution, but they don't want to admit that Iraqi Christians are in trouble because that makes our invasion look bad. So you have Democrats like Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Illinois trying very hard to help these refugees, but the U.S. government isn't doing it. Neither, surprisingly, are evangelical Christians in the United States. The reason they're not doing it is because many of them want to convert Muslims. They're coming into Iraq trying to convert Muslims to Christianity. And I have to say that is that's a really bad idea. And they're doing that, they are not only making Muslims very angry, but they are making the lives of ancient Iraqi Christians in desperate shape. So I want to make a plea out there, if you haven't heard of this issue, to study this issue, call your member of Congress, encourage the United States to help Iraqi Christians who are refugees, who need to leave their country, who need a home, who are being persecuted. We shouldn't close an eye to their persecution just because, heck, it makes our occupation look even worse. That's it for the Inside Scoop today. I hope you'll tune in tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. We got a terrific show. We've got Tim Hamilton, former petroleum industry consultant, and the author of Why Gasoline Prices Are Headed for $3.50 at the Pump. As he points out, it's the oil company.